some dressiers.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Okay. Our limit of Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refua of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla. He should have a Refua Shleim of Vesach Shochel Yisrael, the core of Mamash. So yesterday we learnt about the Chofetz Chaim's example of someone who comes out of Beis Din, he's just lost the case, and he says that the Dayanim are incompetent, and that your obligation is to try and persuade him otherwise. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what happens if it's slightly different, i.e., the guy's lost the case, he comes out of Beis Din waving the psalm, and saying how incompetent the Dayanim are, and you agree with him. In other words, you also believe that the Dayanim are incompetent. So what is your situation then? Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's very simple. First of all, who are you to judge whether or not the Dayanim are competent or not competent? And secondly, you weren't inside the court, you weren't inside the Din Torah. You weren't there at the time to see how they reacted, how much attention they paid, whether they did or didn't sleep during the psak, whatever it is, you weren't there. So says the Chofetz Chaim, you've got no right to express any opinion on the Dayanim. Heyos, that you're not really an expert, you're not a person who fares Dayanim. Fine. And secondly, because you weren't in the actual case. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, you can't believe. Right, you're not allowed to believe and agree that the Dayanim are incompetent. You have to say, if you think it to yourself, says the Chofetz Chaim Weiter, that we know that when you hear Loshon Hara L'Toyelas, in other words, somebody gives you information, Legaba a Shidduch, Legaba a business partner, or whatever it is, and he gives you information which, in order to prevent you from coming to harm, in order to prevent you from doing that shidduch, to prevent you from doing that business, then the halacha is that you're not allowed to believe the information that you're given, but you're allowed to believe it to the extent that you protect yourself. Says the Chofetz Chaim, so the Chofetz Chaim says, therefore, as...
You can't not believe it if you're going to do something about it.
We're just about to explain, says the Chofetz Chaim. First of all, what the Chofetz Chaim says is, number one, if the Torah had thought that it was an impossibility that you should not believe it, but still take precautions in case, says the Chofetz Chaim, then the Torah couldn't have given you a mitzvah like that. The Torah will only ask you to do things which are possible. Yeah. And if it's an impossibility, then it can't be. Then it wouldn't be a mitzvah, or it wouldn't be your obligation. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, it has to be possible. How is it possible? We'll see in a moment, we'll have a word. But he says as follows. Therefore, he says, that protect yourself. Yes, yeah, so don't go into that shop and don't buy anything there. Or protect yourself, don't do that shidduch. Or protect yourself, don't do that partnership. But, he says, you're not allowed to believe the information. And therefore, you're not allowed to treat the shopkeeper any different than you would anyway. If you would normally say Good Shabbos to him, and now you've heard that he's a rapist and a child molester, or whatever it is, yeah, you're not allowed to treat him any different. Because you're only allowed to believe the information to the extent that you protect yourself, but not to harm his reputation. You're not allowed to tell anybody else about it, to go around telling everybody, I heard that this shopkeeper is a child molester, or whatever it is. Yeah, you're not allowed to actually believe the information yourself completely, nor are you allowed to go around telling other people. So he says the Chofetz Chaim, and he gives this example here, how do you do that? How do you play the game? That I do believe, but I don't believe. Yes. Says the Chofetz Chaim as follows. Said, why do you put on... Well, the Chofetz Chaim didn't say this. The example here in the book, based on the Chofetz Chaim, is why do you buckle up with a seatbelt when you go out, when you're driving? Yeah? Why do you put on a seatbelt? I mean, I know it's the law, but besides that, even if it wasn't the law, why would you wear a seatbelt? Because there is a remote possibility that, yeah, I mean, chances are there's not going to be any accident. Chances are you don't need your seatbelt. The chances are you're not going to brake very, very sharply today. Afal pi ken, you put on your seatbelt in order to take a precaution just in case. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you have to do the same thing with Loshon Hara L'Toyelas, right? You take a precaution just in case. You don't believe it, you don't really think it's going to happen, you don't really think it's true, but you take a precaution, buckle up, and just don't believe the Loshon Hara, except to the extent that you protect yourself from harm.
Start your day at Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Lamed Nissan, 15th of the Yoma, 8th of May, Rabbi Dovi Brunner, Shlita, Shnayim, Urchs and Metallus. This week's Turaway is discussed. השבועים והחיילים והמלחמות שיחסו לבצעים לשלום במהירות.
Chedesh to all of you. Good morning.
Great. Morning.
There's a local Beis HaMedrash, a local shul, where the Gabba was getting fed up. There was too many things lying around. It needed time for a clear out, spring cleaning. So he put up a sign: all lost property is available to be taken. Please come and retrieve your objects in the storage room downstairs in the basement. So, on the appointed day, he made the place nice and clean, opened the doors, and everyone was welcome. Everyone was welcome to come and to get their lost property. Now, he had set up the tables for different objects. In the back right-hand corner was where all the shtenders were. You can imagine the shul has plenty of shtenders. In the corner there was a stunning piece of work. Two sides, two. There was the top part, the bottom part, with glass, handcrafted, a beautiful piece of art. A fellow walks in and he goes over to the gabba. Can you see that stand over there? It's mine. So someone else turns around and says, then what are you talking about? It's my stander. So the fellow says, then what are you talking about? I got this for my wife for my 40th birthday. So what are you talking about? I brought this last Rosh Hashanah. The gabba is now in a bit of a pickle. Who does the stander belong to? This fellow says it's his, and this fellow says it's his. On the other corner, there's a table which has a sign up saying Hefka. The shul, over the years, had brought lots of divrei kodesh, things which the shul needed, but it was time for a clear out. So the gabba put a sign Hefka. Anyone is welcome to come and take. On the table, there was a beautiful gartel, a rebbisha gartel. He had spread it out on the table to bring out its beauty. So two bachrim walked in and they headed straight to the hefka table. They were both in their own little bubble, in their own little world, imagining themselves being the rebbe with this beautiful gartel. One fellow goes and picks up the gartel. As he's picking it up, he feels a tug on his left. His friend, at the same time, is holding the gartel. Hands off! It's my gartel. I found it first. So what are you talking about? I picked it up first. What should the gabba do? We have two stories of two people, each party claiming the object at hand belongs to them. Each one is saying it belongs to them. What should the gabba do? Well, first of all, the gabba should come to today's shir, and maybe he'll be able to find out what is the right halacha. The common denominator between these two cases is where you have two parties arguing about an object. Who does it belong to? Now, before we start and go a bit deeper, I want to give a small hakdama. There are quite a few ways we see how the Gemara, how Chazal work when there is an argument between two parties. I would like to bring out three ways. There are more, so don't get confused if you know of other ways. The first way, we're going to call it Cholkin im HaShvua, splitting it with a Shvua. Two parties have an argument. We tell them, each of you make a Shvua, that a promise that the object is yours, and then we split it half-half. You take half, and you take half. That's called Cholkin im HaShvua. Then you have a way called Kol Da'alim Gova, which means whoever is the strongest wins. In literal sense, go and have a fist fight. Fight it out, and whoever is stronger will get it. The Rosh, as we'll see later, says it doesn't have to necessarily be with your fists, with your muscles, because it would be your intellect. Bring good riles. Whoever at the end of the day is the strongest will get it. Kol Da'alim Gova. The third case, which I would like to discuss, is a case where we say, we're so sorry. We don't know what to do. Leave it. Leave it until Eliyahu HaNavi Be'ez Hashem is going to come. Eliyahu HaNavi will explain and understand and answer all questions. Yeniach ad shiyav Eliyahu. Leave it. So we have here three ways of dealing it. I'm just going to go over them and bring them out in the cases where the Gemara puts it that they should be able to understand. So we have Cholkinim HaShvuah. That is the first Mishnah in Bava Metzia. We have Shnayim Oichsin Es HaTalis, which is a case where two people are holding a talis, a garment. Sounds familiar to the case of the Gartel. Two people are holding this beged, this clothing, and they are both screaming blue in the face. It belongs to them. Each one says it belongs to them. We tell them, each make a Shavuah, that it belongs to you. Make a promise it belongs to you. And then you will split it half-half. So each party takes home half the object. How you make it is a whole schmooze for itself. But this is going to be called Cholkim HaShvuah. That's the first way we deal with such an argument. Another way, as we mentioned before, is called the Alam Gova. Is the case in Bava Basra, in Lamed Dalad Amid Beis, is a case where there's a boat in the harbour. A beautiful boat. However, there's two people fighting. One fellow says it belongs to him, and one fellow belongs to him. We don't know who this boat belongs to. The Gemara over there says, fight it out. Have a fist fight. Whoever's the strongest will win. This is the case of Ahu Arva. The Gemara over there brings out another case, which is also has Gemara applies the halacha of Kol Dalam Gava, where you have two people fighting over an object, saying, this belonged to my father. And the other friend says, rubbish, this belonged to my father. This party says it belongs to him. He says it belongs to him. Go and fight it out. Kol Da'alim Gava. And the third case is an interesting case, is where you have some two people who give over their money to a third party to look after it. So you have Reuven and Shimon, who give over money to a guardian, a shomer, to look after the money. Now, one fellow gave £100. One fellow gave £200. And this so responsible shomer, who's not so responsible, forgot who gave him the 100 and who gave him the 200. So everyone knows that they definitely get 100, but who does the extra 100 belong to? This fellow says it belongs to me, and this fellow says it belongs to me. So they're having an argument. Here, the Gemara, which is going to be brought down in Daf Gimel later, says, leave it till Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Eliyahu will come, and he will decide. Rabbi Yossi takes it a stage further. Rabbi Yossi says, not only this questionable 100, the whole bundle. The 100 from one fellow and the 200 from the whole 100 has to be held in a safe place where Be'ez Hashem, Eliyahu will come very soon and he will show us what to do with it. So we have three. Cholkim HaShvuah, we have Kol Da'alim Gava, and we have Yeniach Ad Shiyav Eliyahu HaNavi. As I said, there are other ways, and yes, you're probably thinking of Mitzchah Ve'Raya, you're thinking of Sumchas maybe. There are different ways. I'm especially not quoting them as this today, we're not going to deal with them. So, the obvious question which is begged to be asked is, what is the rhyme and reason? We don't do anything for no reason. What's the logic? What's the Havana? Why sometimes we say Cholkim HaShvuah, sometimes we say Kol Da'alim Gava, and sometimes we say Yeniach Ad Shiyav Eliyahu HaNavi? So this is not my question. It's the Rishonim. They all deal with this. The Gemara at the beginning of Shnayim Oichsin Betalis, in the beginning of Bava Metzia, starts off. Shnayim Oichsin Betalis is a Mishnah, it's a famous Mishnah, everyone knows. Two people are holding on to a garment. This one says, I found it. This one says, I found it. They're having a fight. It's a monetary fight. This one says, it belongs to me. This fellow says, it belongs to me. What should we do? Comes along our Tanoim and they tell us, Zeh Yishava, this one makes a promise. An interesting promise we require him to make. Look at the Gemara, you'll see more on this. This fellow makes a promise that he doesn't have less than half. So he's made a promise. Each party has made a promise. Split it half-half. Shalom al Yisrael. That is what the Mishnah says. Comes along Tosfos, the second Tosfos in the Masechta, and Tosfos asks, what is going on? Tema, it's a tema. Why? Maishna, Mahida Arva. This case of the boat in the harbour, what is the difference? What is the logic? Why are we saying that when it comes to the Mishnah in Bava Metzia of two fellows holding on to a garment, do we say, make a shvuah and split it half-half? And why do we say by the boat, where we're in the harbour, where we have two people fighting over the ownership of the boat, we say, no. Pull up your sleeves, go and have a fight, and the strongest man wins. This is Tosis' question. It's a very fair question, and it needs to be dealt with. So Tosis comes with a kind of cryptic answer. He doesn't offer much explanation. Tosis says as follows. There's an obvious difference before we start. As we spoke out, our Mishnah says two people are holding the talis. They're holding the garment in their hand. Since, and where, just to bring out the difference before we say the halacha, they're both holding the garment. Whereas, in the case in the boat is floating in the harbour. No one is holding it. No one has more hold over it than the other. That's the basic difference. Now let's go a bit deeper. We have over here, so the Mishnah says, if two people are oichas, two people are holding in it, we have a rule which the Gemara is going to bring later, anan sahadi. Let's just say the Loshin, just get it correct. The anan sahadi, my toughest haidi dehu. This, that this fellow is holding on to something, we look at it as it is his. It's a rule which we apply when somebody is holding on to something, we look at it as it is his. Now, because of this rule, we look at it as, since it says there is no room for a fist fight. That's how Tosis puts it. That's where Tosis stops. We only have room for a fist fight when no one's holding it. When they're both holding it, they're both musuk. There's a kind of a witness going on that this, that somebody holds something, belongs to them. There's no room for kol da'alam gava. Now why? Why should that be? Why should that be? Why? Let them fight it out. The Maram at the back aligns Tosfos with the Rosh. The Rosh says as follows. In our arsenal, as we have already spoken out, there's different ways to deal with monetary fights. The very best way would be Kol Da'alim Gava. Why? You would think not. What? We don't want fights? We don't want fights. Because the strongest person will surely be the owner. The owner will fight for his object. He knows that he's worked hard to earn money to buy this object. He knows it's his. He's going to fight it out. Or as the Rosh says, he's going to use the best intellect to bring the best proofs that this object is his. Without a shadow of doubt. So, we prefer, it's the best option, go and have a fist fight. Leave the Bezdin alone. Leave us alone. You go deal with it. Now, the problem is, because we've already spoken out that when somebody's holding something, we look at it as it's theirs. Even, says the Rosh, when the other fellow is blue in the face screaming, no, it's mine. We still look at it as it's his. If we still look at it as his, we're essentially allowing a geneva to happen. If you allow a fist fight, and you allow this fellow to go and prove who's stronger and grab hold of this object, you, Bezdin, are allowing a geneva to happen. We can't let that happen. We can't let a geneva happen. So what should we do? We'll stop the fist fight. Stop. Stop what you're doing. We will paskin. What should you do? Make a shvur, make a promise, and split it half-half. Our hands are tied. The best way would prove who the owner is. Because surely the strongest fellow will be the fellow who the owner is. But because you're holding it, we can't allow you to do a geneva. We can't allow it to happen, so stop. So this could be Pshat and Tosis, where Tosis says, because you're holding it, it's different. Now, the reason why I'm a bit questionable on this is since Tosis and Baba Basra does say like this, why does Tosis over here refrain from saying this way of understanding the difference between our Mishnah of Shnayim Oaks and Batalas and the case of the boat in the harbour? Tosis could have said it. Also, another point to ponder is Tosis' way of writing it sounds like it's a halacha, it's a din. We paskin, go and do yachloku, split it with a shvur. And therefore, there's no room for kol dal and gavah. The way the Tosis puts it down sounds a bit different to how the Rosh puts it down. The way we put it down, the Rosh, was really go and have a fight. We're not going to get involved. The best man will be the strongest man. We can't allow a geneva to happen, so we'd rather tell you, we'll spit it for you. Tosis over here sounds like the very best way is that the halacha is that we should split it. So it sounds like from Tosis over here that there's an argument in going in how we deal with kol da'al and gavah. The Rosh on one hand is saying that kol da'al and gavah is the best option, and therefore we prefer this. Whereas Tosis is saying no, we paskin for whatever reason. When, as Tosis speaks out, when you're not holding it, that is enough of a reason for us to tell you to go and have a fight. However, when you're holding something, we will rather tell you to go and split it with a shvur. So I've just spoken out two ways on the same line in the Gemara. We're going to mention another way how to understand the Gemara. However, two ways, the Rosh and Tosis both explaining that the difference between our Mishnah of Shnayim Oichs and Batalas, where we say you split it with a promise, each party who are arguing with each other makes a promise that it belongs to them, then we split it halfway, is different fundamentally to the case of the boat in the harbour where we tell them, have a fist fight and fight it out between yourselves. Since over here in Bava Metzia, they're both holding on to it. And since they're holding the object, they are muchzik, we give a witness that whatever you are holding is yours, we tell you to go and split it with Ishwar. This is Tosis and the Rosh is understanding the difference between the two. Comes along, yeah.
Sorry, if you got two muchzokim,
yeah.
Isn't that the same as two who are not muchzokim? They're still equal parties in the
very good
the level of
so
play.
You're right. However, the over here, because they're holding on to it.
Yeah. Why does that make a difference?
So in the world of Hamayit Chavei Levaraya, maybe you're right, and that's the first Rashi in the Mishnah talks about this. However, so you don't want to use the word that they're both muslik, they are both holding on to it, and so that's a fact. So if you want me to delete the word muslik, okay, I agree, it's questionable. However, since they are holding on to it, we won't allow them to go and have a fist fight, as the Rosh puts it, because that will make that there will be a geneva happening.
Why
would
there be a geneva?
Since they're both holding on to it, and then we look at that whatever you are holding belongs to you, this is the rule which we say, so we can't allow you to go and do a kol da'al and gavah. Kol da'al and gavah is when someone is going to fight with his friend, they're going to have a fist fight. It belongs to me and I'm going to fight for it. However, since we have a rule, and the Gemara calls it a non-sahadi, we look at it as whatever you are holding belongs to you, we can't allow you to go and fight, that the other person should come and fight with you, because maybe this is yours. Since there is a real option,
A yachloku,
you're saying, okay. Why is yachloku better?
Yeah.
We're saying we're going, because at the moment, they're both holding on to it. A yachloku is that you're both holding on to it, so we'll say what you're holding you keep, and what you're holding you hold. You've both got half. So there's not going to be any geneva happening. You're not taking away from someone something which he's holding on to.
So they're trying to make a kin too.
If you want to put it like that. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but yeah, something on those lines. We're saying that by Kolan, no one's holding it. They're equal parties. No one's got more of a hold on it than the other person. Whereas, over here in the Mishnah, by Shneim Ochsin, they have an equal hold. The Rishonim come along and ask a knockout question on Tosfos. When I say knockout, I mean it's a strong question which Tosfos is going to need to deal with. And because of the question, the Rishonim are going to learn a different way in the difference between Shneim Ochsin Betalus of Cholkin Ima Shvua to Kol Da'alim Gova. The Gemara, which we mentioned earlier, where two parties deposit their money by a third party for looking after. One fellow gave £100, one fellow gave £200. But the not-so-responsible guardian forgot who gave him 100 and who gave him 200. They're both arguing over the third 100. Who does it belong to? Now, the Gemara wants to say, Gemara says that this Rabbi Yossi, who says that you should wait till Eliyahu HaNavi, can't be going like our Mishnah of Shneim Ochsin Betalus. Our Mishnah of Shneim Ochsin Betalus says that two people are having an argument about a garment. They're both holding it. We tell them, make a promise, make a shvur, and split it. Can't be going. This is the Gemara says, Lina Masnis in the Lake Rabbi Yossi. It can't be going like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, wait till Yohan Novi should come. And the Rishonim understand that if Rabbi Yossi, if what does the Gemara mean to say it's not going like Rabbi Yossi? According to Rabbi Yossi, how would you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a case, should also be, leave it till Yohan. That's how Rabbi Yossi would say our Mishnah. So obviously the Gemara is not going like Rabbi Yossi. Now come along the Rishonim. A few Tosfos who just said that there's a fundamental difference going on, that the main point of the Mishnah in Bava Metzia is that you're holding the object. So then what's the comparison to the case of when two people deposit money by a third party? No one is holding, no one has a more of a hold over this money which is by the third party. So there can't be a comparison. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would only say his din because there's no hold over the money. It's equal that none of them have any hold over it. However, maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree to our Mishnah's halacha. How can the Gemara come along and say the Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Yossi? There's a fundamental difference. Tosfos and the Rosh are banging out that, you know what, the whole point of our Mishnah is that they're holding the object. If they're holding the object, that gives us the right, for whatever reason, which we discussed before, that you should say, Cholkin Ima Shvua. How can the Gemara have put the two together? There's no connection. The Mishnah's case is that they're holding the object. The case where they deposit the money by a third party, they're not holding the money at all. Comes along the Ramban and the Rival, that this, what Tosfos and the Rosh put out, can't be correct. There has to be a different difference between the case of two people holding an object to a case of the boat in the harbour. Tosfos and the Rosh must be wrong. So they say as follows. We have to dissect the case. Is there a definite liar between these two parties? Is there a definite liar? What do I mean? You have two people arguing with each other. It could be, even though they're screaming that I'm right and this is mine, I found it, it belongs to me. It could, if you look at the bigger picture, maybe they found it together. Maybe at the same time, the Gemara discusses a case where they brought it at the same time. They both gave money to the owner. They both picked up the object at the same time. This is how the Gemara actually learns our Mishnah. So even though they're both saying they are the real rightful owner, if you look at the bigger picture, then there's not a definite liar. However, it could be possible that no, there is a definite liar. How can you both have got the same object from your father? The Gemara over there by Kol Da'alim Gava is one of the cases where this comes from my father and this comes from my father. So who does it come from? Who could be correct? The Rishonim want to learn also that the case where we say the boat in the harbour is also a definite liar. We take on that one is for sure a lying. The Rishonim speak how? I don't want to go into it, I'm running out of time. So we say, do you know when you come along and say, Kol Da'alim Gava, have a fist fight, let the strongest person win, is when there's a definite liar. If there's a definite liar, then we can't come along and paskin yachloku, have a fist fight. However, when it's possible that both parties can be correct, both parties can have a rightful ownership, let's say they found the object at the same time, like in the story of the gartel at the beginning, both bocharim picked up the gartel at the same time, they both could be correct. There is where we say, make a shvua and split it half-half. So we're having a fundamental machlokes between, on one side, the Tosfos and the Rosh, and other Rishonim, and the Ramban and the Rival. Tosfos and the Rosh says, it's only if you're holding the object does our Mishnah apply. Now that you're holding the object, our Mishnah of Shnayim Osur V'Talis applies that you split it with a Shvuah. If you're not holding it, even if you could both could be correct, go and have a fist fight. Go and fight it out. Whereas, the Rosh, the Ramban and the Rival, so we look at the case. Who is a definite liar? If there's a definite liar involved, go along and say, Kol Da'alim Gava. If there's not a definite liar, then don't say Kol Da'alim Gava. You'll say our Mishnah. So just to broaden the machlokes a little bit, this that we're saying, it depends on whether there's a definite liar or not. Rashi throws in, at the bottom of the Amud, that the Mishnah cannot be talking about a case where they're having an argument. Remember, the case was two people holding the talis. Two people are holding the garment, and they're both saying it belongs to them. Rashi says it can only be talking about in a case of I found it first, or I brought it first. But if it's a case of I made it first, you can't have two people making it, Rashi says. Rashi says it can't be, because you're a definite liar. So Rashi is obviously aligning himself, not like how Tosfos and the Rosh learns. However, that the main point of our Mishnah is that you're not a definite liar. Since there's not a definite liar, then we will tell you, split it with a shvur. If there is a definite liar, Chazal will tell you to go and fight it out among yourself. Now, I'm running out of time, so I can't be there to move it back to the third way we spoke about of Yahweh Adshav Yonoh. It needs to be spoken about because the case of Yahweh Adshav Yonoh is also a case of a definite liar. They both can't have given the extra 100. Two people gave money to a guardian. One gave 100, one gave 200. There's a definite liar over there. For some reason, we don't say Kol Da'alim Gava. We come up with a new reason of Ad Shav Eliyahu. So just to bring it back to those two cases of the Shtender and the Gartel, when we had the two people, one fellow said his wife brought it for his 40th birthday, and the other fellow said that the Shtender in the back corner there belongs to him, and he brought it for Rosh Hashanah. Now, I especially put it down in a case where they're both not touching the shtender. It's in the back corner. So that we can align it with the case with the boat in the harbour. If, however, they would say, I made the shtender with my own hands, and the other fellow was saying, I made the shtender, so then we would say, go fight it out. The case of the gartel, where they're both holding onto the gartel, is l'chore, the case of our Mishnah, where two people are holding onto the garment. that both Bochrim are saying that this garter belongs to them. They say, as the Gemara says, they found at the same time they were in their own world, imagining being the Rebbe. They didn't realize that their friend at the same time was also having the same dreams. And they both picked that up. So we'll say, we're going to have to tell them, make a promise, and split it half off. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
If anybody would like to contribute to the Rosh Chodesh collection, you'd be very welcome. Sorry? Well, you're creating problems again. It's right next to your foot.
What do you want?
Good.
Chodesh. You must say Chodesh.
Ronnie came to me this morning. Chodesh. Straight away.
Wish you everybody. Every time you do something, you wish somebody to cast guilt. Wish you Chodesh. Cast guilt. You take a credit card?
I take credit cards. Give me your credit cards.
Yeah. You don't have any change.
I'll get you change. Yeah. I'll sort you out change. Okay, fine. I'll sort you out soon, alright? Just hope there's somebody else.
We'll leave it.
It's up to you. Entirely up to you.
Sure. Go for a good course.
Anybody else? Any offers? Thank you very much.
I spoke to you on the phone?
Yeah.